What he says is this, verse 11, then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand, the remnant of his people. This final gathering, just before Jesus starts his 1,000-year reign, is the second time. Well, if there's a second time, there must have been a first time. How many times could there have been before a second? Only one, and that is the first time. And the first time is the calling into the land of the current state of Israel. Who is he making this covenant with? Israel. Israel has to be there before the tribulation. If there's no nation of Israel, no political entity of Israel, with whom does he make the agreement? When you tell me that the current state of Israel has no scriptural place, I say, you don't know the scriptures. It makes no sense. None of this makes any sense without current Israel. Yes, the current Israel is a non-believing nation. It has not accepted the Messiah. That's exactly what he's saying. It's like, duh, that's what I told you. We are starting Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, what we're going to look at in Isaiah 43, we're just going to look at one portion, and then next week we'll come back and work our way through it, because what I want to do today is I want to address the state of Israel. Is the current state of Israel, is it prophesied? Is the current state of Israel, does it have anything to do with scriptural prophecy, or is it just some accident of history that it's just popped up? So let's look in Isaiah 43. Let's read from verse 5. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. So this is where Isaiah is not speaking about the Babylonian return. He is speaking about the far prophecy. This is about the return where they are going to be in the presence of the Lord, where the messianic kingdom is going to be established. So that hasn't yet taken place historically. This is where he's projecting out toward. This is not the Babylonian return. The Babylonian return was not from the north and the south, east and west, and all these different directions. That was just from the north. That's it. This is from all the different directions that he's talking about, and that's how it's going to be in the end times. But let's look at what other callings might there have been. Now, there is a theology called replacement theology. And in replacement theology, the idea is that modern day Israel has no place, no place in scripture, no prophecy about modern day Israel, because when they rejected the Messiah, when Israel rejected the Messiah, all those blessings that were promised to Jacob and Israel were transferred to the church. That's what replacement theology is. That's the extreme replacement theology. There's another theology that is not too much separated from that, and that is another theology that says that Israel will return, but that is going to be a return only after Israel is a believing nation. Only then will there be a return to the land. And that is when the messianic kingdom is being set up. When Jesus comes for his 1,000-year reign after the 7 years of tribulation, only then will there be a calling of Israel back. And there is no place, again, they agree with the other replacement theology, that the current state of Israel is just an accident of nature, just by accident, by chance. This nation has sprung up in 1948. That is that belief. And why would they think that? Well, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 through 5, Deuteronomy chapter 29 and 30 are sort of like a block. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 through 5 says, so it shall be when all of these have come upon you, the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, you can call them to mind in all the nations where the Lord your God has banished you. and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to all that I command you, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. So this is where they're looking at. This is in a state of belief, where the nation of Israel is in a state of belief in acceptance of the Messiah. Only then will they come back. So the question is, where is current day Israel? Current day Israel, the majority of them don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. There's probably only 150,000 or so out of 10 million people in the state of Israel that hold to Jesus being the Messiah. And they get this from another verse as well, Isaiah 27, verses 12 and 13. In that day, the Lord will start his threshing from the flowing stream of the Euphrates to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered up one by one, O sons of Israel. And it will come about also in that day that a great trumpet will be blown, and those who were perishing in the land of Assyria and who were scattered in the land of Egypt will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Again, there is going to be a return. There will definitely be a return to the land when the Messiah is setting up the new kingdom. After the 7-year tribulation, just before his 1,000-year reign, he is going to be calling Jews from all over. So the second replacement theology group concedes that Israel will be in that land, but they're not going to be restored until they are a believing nation. You get that from a third verse as well. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 25 onward, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. They will forget their disgrace and all their treachery, which they perpetrated against me, when they lived securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. When I will bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I shall be scattered through them in the sight of many nations. Then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations, and then gathered them again to their own land. And I will not, and I will leave none of them there any longer. I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord." So again, you see, these are three verses of several that talk about the gathering of Israel back to the land just before the new messianic kingdom. But it turns out that there is another way to look at this, and that's that God has actually two returns. He has a return to bring them into judgment, and he has a second return to bring them into glory in his messianic kingdom. And this national regeneration is going to occur because he brings them into the land from all over the earth. He's going to bring them into the land, and he is going to bring things about and fulfill his judgment there, and have Jews as a nation, a national regeneration, a national repentance. If you go to Israel today, if you go to Israel, you see Jews from all over. It is amazing. It is not just from the Middle East Jews. It is from Europe. It is from the U.S. It is Russia. Lots of Russian Jews. I mean, there's a lot of signs in Russian because there's so many Russian Jews. Ethiopian Jews all over. There's this huge mass have returned. Flights are returning. People are bringing them in. Flights are coming in, returning. And so there are two returns. One is in unbelief, and to prepare them for the tribulation, and then the tribulation is going to cause a national regeneration. And so where would we get an idea like that? Well, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. Ezekiel 20, verse 33. "As I live, declares the Lord, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of covenant, and I will purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me, and I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn. So you see that there is another gathering where he's gathering to them again, and he's calling them rebels in disobedience. And I'm going to bring you back into the land to judge you for judgment. This 7-year period, this 7-year tribulation is going to be your time of judgment. There's going to be the national regeneration, and the Jews will, the Israel at that time will return to the Lord. And then there'll be another calling them in. And so you see, where else? Is this some verse in isolation? No, let's look in Ezekiel chapter 22, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the furnace. They are the dross of silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because all of them have become dross, therefore I am going to gather you in the midst of Jerusalem. And as they gathered silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin into the furnace to blow fire on it in order to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I will lay you there and melt you. And I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you will be melted in the midst of it. As silver is melted in the furnace, so you will be melted in the midst of it, and you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath on you. So again, he's calling them to a time of judgment. This is not the final call. This is not before Messiah comes. This is not when Messiah comes for his 1,000-year reign. This is prior to his coming. He's calling them to a national regeneration. If you look in Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah. In Zephaniah chapter 1, he's talking about the day of the Lord. Remember, the day of the Lord is kind of code word for the tribulation. The tribulation is spoken of, the day of the Lord. That is what's spoken of in it. And he says in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14, near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord, in it, the warrior cries out bitterly, a day of wrath. Is that day a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and the high corner towers? So you see, there is a day of the Lord coming, which is always the 7-year tribulation. That day of the Lord is the 7-year tribulation. And it is in that period that there's going to be a national regeneration. Israel is coming back. So remember, to reiterate what I have just told you, there is a replacement theology that says that the current day Israel has no place in prophecy, no place in scripture, that when they rejected the Jews, when they rejected the Messiah, all those blessings transferred to the church. Even though it said, I'm going to do this for you, O Jacob, I'm going to do this for you, O Israel, they negate all that and they say, no, that's all for the church. There is another replacement theology that says that the church has lost everything that Israel has lost everything until Messiah comes to establish his new kingdom, that 1,000-year reign. Then the Jews are going to come back into the land, and they're going to come back into the land in total belief. And because current day Israel is not in belief, there's only 100,000, 150,000 Messianic Jews among the 10 million people living in Israel. Because of that, the current day Israel again is an accident of history, they will say. They will say it's an accident of history. There's no prophecy around it. But there is this further view that says, no, there is a calling of people into the land during this period where they are in disobedience. We just read two verses and now we will read another. So that was Zephaniah chapter 1, where he calls the day of the Lord. Then if you look in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather, O nation, without shame. He calls them a nation without shame. Israel is a nation without shame, he says. Before the decree takes effect, the day passes like chaff. Before the decree takes effect, what decree is he talking about? That's chapter one. Remember, there's no chapter breaks in the scriptures. That is a later addition which came in the 1600s.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together and I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
He came with this decree in Zephaniah chapter 1, the day of the Lord, all this is going to happen. He says, before that decree, before the day of the Lord, here's what I have to say. Before the decree takes effect, the day passes like chaff. Before the burning anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. What comes upon you the day before that? He says, I'm going to gather the nations. Before the tribulation period comes upon you, I am going to gather the nations. I'm going to gather them. That is what current day Israel is. It is gathered there for a national regeneration. There has been disobedience. They have not accepted the Messiah, but this is very much surrounded by scripture. Again, so we just read three scriptures which say that he's going to be calling people together in a state of disobedience. He calls them together in obedience. That's just before the Messianic reign. But before the Messianic reign, before the time of tribulation, he is going to be calling them together. Now look in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, Isaiah 11, 11. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people, who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he will lift up a standard for the nations and assemble the banished ones of Israel and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So he is speaking of this gathering of Israel, just at the time that the Messianic reign is going to start, that thousand-year Messianic reign. But what does he say about this gathering? What he says is this, verse 11, then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand, the remnant of his people. The second time. So this gathering, this final gathering, just before Jesus starts his thousand-year reign, is the second time. Well, if there's a second time, there must have been a first time. How many times could there have been before a second? Only one, and that is the first time. And the first time is the calling into the land of the current state of Israel. It's the calling into the land. The state of Israel took place in 1948. It just started in 1948. This is clearly prophecy. This is the first time from all over the world. You go to Israel today, it is nationalities all over. I've been there. I see Indian Jews from India. Jews from India are there, from all over. Jews from Africa are there. Just black, jet black from Africa. You go, you see Jews from Ukraine and Russia, super white, all over, all colors, you see them. You see them all over coming into Israel, Jews returning to this land. If that's the second time, there was a first time. Now, how many times, if there's a second time, how many could there have been before the second time? Only one. Because some people will say that there is no tribulation going to occur because the tribulation already occurred through Nazi Germany. They'll say that already occurred through Nazi Germany. But no, it is. This is going to be before the tribulation period, there is a time. So there's very much a tribulation time coming. So that was Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. Now let's look, so we saw all of these scriptures. Now let's look at some correlating scriptures that only make sense when you rationalize it in the way that I've just explained to you. If you look in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says this, and he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Who is the he? This is the Antichrist. If you read up in verse 26, this is the Antichrist making a covenant with Israel. He's making a covenant with Israel, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and the wing of abominations will come, one who makes desolate. even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So you see, the Antichrist will come. He will make an agreement. We've seen this before. We've covered this many times in this class. The Antichrist comes. He makes a seven-year agreement with the nation of Israel. He makes a seven-year agreement with the nation of Israel. In the middle of that, at 3.5 years, boom, right in the middle, mid-tribulation, he breaks that covenant with them. You have the abomination of desolations occurs. Who is he making this covenant with? Israel. Israel has to be there before the tribulation. If there's no nation of Israel, no political entity of Israel, with whom does he make the agreement? If Israel is just scattered around the nations, if the current day Israel is just a freak of history, if there's no prophecy, with who is the Antichrist going to make an agreement? This is a political agreement he has made. We see this again in other scriptures. If you look in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolations, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." Remember I told you, mid-tribulation, that's when this is occurring. Mid-tribulation, you flee to the mountains. That is the start of the massive persecution upon the Jewish nation. Mid-tribulation, where the Antichrist breaks his seven-year agreement. He says, flee to the mountains. The mountains are in Petra. It's just on the other side of the Dead Sea in what is today southern Jordan, Petra, that city, that red city, red stone. He says, that's where you're going to be. And we already have seen the scriptures where the Lord, when he returns, he is going to meet them in Petra. And he is going to bring them back with him to Petra and deal with the Antichrist and kill the Antichrist at that time. Our Lord Jesus is going to do that. He says at mid-tribulation, this is going to happen. He says, where are they going to be fleeing from? He says, let the reader understand, those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Why are they in Judea if this whole occurrence is just a freak of history? It's because they're there, because there is the current Jewish nation there, that this is happening, that they're going to flee. If there was no prophesied Jewish nation, there'd be nothing there before the tribulation period. Let's look again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. That's the Antichrist. The son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Where is the Antichrist going to set himself? In the temple of God. If there is no Israel, if there is no land of Israel, prior to the coming of the Lord to set up his thousand-year reign, if there is no land of Israel, if there is no temple, there is no Israel. This could not have happened in 1948. This had to have happened after 1967. There was a six-day war. Israel then only got sovereignty of the Temple Mount. Only at that time got sovereignty. Now there is still not a temple there. There's a mosque right there next to the Temple Mount. There is not a temple there, but there will be a temple there. And this is why if you go to Israel today, they are planning on that temple. There is a whole organization, a whole state organization that is getting the pots and the fire pans and all these pieces together. They've already lined up the priest. The priest, the last name Cohen. Cohen means priest. You've met Jews named Cohen. They have a gene. This has been, I read this verse 25 years ago with tears in my eyes, that this Cohen gene, there's a common gene among many of the Cohens that has marked them as the priestly class, because only the priests will be able to give up an offering. They needed red heifers. Red heifers were identified in Texas. They sold them to Israel, and those red heifers are being bred because you need the red heifer. You don't need the ark. You say, well, the ark wasn't there. The ark never came back from Babylon. From that temple that was built, that reconstituted temple, there was never any ark there. In the days of Jesus walking this earth, there was never the ark there. For 600 years, they worshiped in the temple without the ark. They can do that without the ark. But they have everything else is set up. I'm telling you, there is going to be a temple built there. How are you going to build a temple? Where is this Antichrist going to sit mid-tribulation? If Israel is not there, who's going to build that temple? Just That's just a freak accident of history. The temple's going to come up for mid-tribulation before Jesus returns to this earth. When you tell me that the current state of Israel has no scriptural place, I say, you don't know the scriptures. It makes no sense. None of this makes any sense without the current Israel. Yes, the current Israel is a non-believing nation. It has not accepted the Messiah. That's exactly what he's saying. It's like, duh, that's what I told you. You're not surprising me. I've told you they're not going to be a believing nation. That's why I call them there. I call them there for judgment because there's going to be a national regeneration there, right there in that place. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar. Measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. What is 42 months? 3.5 years. From the midpoint of the tribulation, the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist sits on the throne in the temple in Israel. And he says, don't even include the outer court because that's going to be trampled by the nations. The Gentiles are going to run that place for 3.5 years. Because after 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus is returning. He's going to cleanse that place and build a new temple right on that same location in that temple. You see, the temple had to have been there before the Antichrist came. Maybe the temple was finished, you know, right at mid-tribulation, three and a half years into the tribulation. But sometime before the middle of the tribulation, that temple has to be completed, must be completed. That's why Israel is there. If Israel were not there in that land, nobody's building that temple. You think the Muslims are going to build the temple of God in that place? Who's going to build the temple? You think that's going to pop up out of the ground? Who's going to run the temple? Who's going to be giving up the offerings in that temple, if not the current state of Israel? This is what's happening. They're from all over, and from all over they are coming, unbelieving Jews, meaning those who do not accept the testimony of Jesus. The unbelieving Jews are going to be there. And there's more to this. There's the war, the Gog and Magog war in Ezekiel. If we look in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8, chapter 38, verse 12, it says, after many days, you will be summoned. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought from the nations and they are living securely, all of them. So this is talking about the current state of Israel. He says it was desolate when Israel came in 1948. That place was desolate, just desolate. A bunch of Bedouins running around. And now he says, you're going to come in and you're going to be secure. Nowhere in this does it say shalom. You're not going to be at peace, but you're going to be secure. And that's what the current state of Israel is today. They have very high security. And he says, when you're in this state of security, verse 12, to capture spoil and seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods and live in the center of the world. He says, you're going to be living in that state of security. Today, you're going to be living in that state of security. He says, now Gog and Magog, these are the actually not regions, but actually the names of kings from the north, they're going to come down. They are going to breach that security of Israel. They're going to get into the security of Israel. They're going to follow this mountain chain down, which runs from the Galilee right on down, part of Jerusalem, and then right on down and then ends in the Negev, where Ben-Gurion University is today. And that mountain range ends, and Jerusalem's right in the middle of it. He said, they're going to come down. They're going to come onto those mountains, and they're going to attack you. And they're going to breach your security. This is all prophesied. That's why this stuff doesn't affect me when I see it. It's all prophesied. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1 through 5 says, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And I will turn you around and drive you on, take you up from the remotest part of the north, and bring you against the mountain of Israel. I will strike your bow from your left hand and dash your arrows from your right hand. You will fail on the mountains of Israel, and all your troops and all the peoples who are with you, I will give as food to every kind of predatory bird and beasts of the field, and you will fall on the open fields, for it is I who have spoken, declares the Lord. Prior to the coming of the Messiah, there is going to be a big battle, Gog and Magog. It has to occur right there on those mountains prior to the Lord's return. Who are they going to be fighting there? If the Jews are not there, who are they going to be fighting? If it was just an accident that the current state of Israel is there, then who are they going to be fighting? Gog and Magog are going to come in. Well, nobody here. Guess we can't fight. Who are they going to be fighting? They're going to be fighting the current state of Israel, who lives in security. Israel lives in security. Their security will be breached, and Gog and Magog will come in. And then the world is going to say, ah, Israel is done. And boom, God is going to kill Gog and Magog on the hills around Jerusalem. On those mountains, they will be killed by God himself. And you think, oh, well, he'll drop a nuke. He can't drop a nuke. There's Israel. There's Jews there. A nuke doesn't segregate. And so you see this sort of thing, that the nuke doesn't segregate this.
Because of you, millions of people have heard the gospel.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, and you will be saved.
That's right.
That's the requirement.
We talk about science concepts which draw people in.
Take these nanomachines and have them drill into cells.
This would be a great way to kill cancer, right?
We also talk about Jesus Christ, who's the best in everything.
My faith in Jesus Christ means more to me than anything.
If you could continue to give or give for the first time, we would certainly appreciate it. You can go to jesusandscience.org/donate. All U.S. donations are tax deductible. Thank you so much.
This is what is going to happen. The current state of Israel, this is all part of God's plan. Don't you see this? This is part of God's plan. Who is going to do this? Where's the Antichrist going to sit if the Jews are not to be there today? So you have these different extremes. You have this one group that says, because the Jews deny Jesus, they're just a freak of history. This has just popped up. Every blessing in the Old Testament is going, that's all transferred to the church, even though God said Jacob and Israel, that's transferred to the church. There's another one that says, yes, they reject it, and only those Jews that believe at the end of the seven-year tribulation, only those Jews that believe are going to be brought into the land, and Messiah will reign over them. But there is a more accurate one that takes into account both scriptures, which talk about the second and the first. The first is the reconstitution. It could not have been the return from Babylon, because that was just from the north. It is the return from all these different nations, which we see with our own eyes. I mean, this is how blind we are. It is happening. The scriptures are being fulfilled in our very own eyes. And we're like, duh. Oh, that's just an accident, you know. Never should be like that. I mean, God's like, wake up. Wake up. I'm fulfilling this in front of your eyes. Go to Israel today. You see black and white and all sorts of colors, browns, everything. You will see there Jews returning from everywhere, even from China, returning there, and countries letting them go. You know, you thought, how would they? Boom, God let them go. They're all returning there, and they are converging there, and there will be a national regeneration there. On those mountains, it is going to occur. It's going to occur in the 7 years of tribulation that are going to occur. At the midpoint, the Antichrist will rise up, and things will be restored. And there'll be great torture for 3.5 years, and then only then will things be restored. And the Antichrist is going to sit in the very temple that the Jews are going to soon set up, and they've got everything lined up to set this thing up. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen. We have no idea, but it's going to happen. And in fact, if you read in the scriptures, they had to be preparing the arms for that war with Gog and Magog. Those arms had to be prepared for 7 years. That means if this happens at mid-tribulation, for 7 years before that point, so in other words, 3.5 years before the tribulation even started, they will have had to be preparing arms for that very battle. The scriptures are so clear. If you do not know the Lord, come and talk to me. I will share with you, because these words are going to come true. These words are going to come to pass. You can say whatever you want. Say whatever you want to me. I guarantee you, you will die, and this word will remain. this word will remain. Israel is not going anywhere from that land because God brought them there. There are two comings. The first one is happening in our lifetime. The second one will come at the end of the seven-year tribulation. This is exactly what God has. God's word is so good and accurate and true. I urge you to be in this word every day. It is our life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done in our lives. Lord, I pray that these young people would take hold of your word and see that these scriptures are even being fulfilled in our lifetimes. It is being fulfilled. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Father, I pray for the lost. Save their souls, I pray. Let them have the fear of God instilled within them. And Lord, I pray for the believers that are here that they too would stand and fear, lest they, as Gamaliel said, find themselves fighting against God himself. Father, I pray for these young people that they would not fight against God himself, that they would take this word and embed it deep within their hearts for the glory of Jesus and in his name. Amen. Thank you for joining me today. If you could give us a like, share, or podcast review, we would appreciate it. If you have any questions, you could send them to ask@jesusandscience.org, and we'll try to answer some of those questions in an upcoming video. And if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you want to hear about why I believe, send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, and we'll get together by Zoom. And I'll share with you why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ.